Yeshua, the Yeshua, the Chachamim, etc., the Nevi'im. And the obvious question is why that introduction is at the beginning of Pirkei Avot and not at the beginning of Shas, because it's appropriate to everything in Torah Shabbat Peh, right? So the Meiri has an explanation in his Pirush on Pirkei Avot, which I think is a good way to begin speaking about Pirkei Avot. He says, Chazal were worried that people would see the topics in Pirkei Avot as being qualitatively different, less significant, less part of Torah Shabbat Peh than the rest. Everyone understands that the laws of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah and Zrayim and Kodshim and those laws, that's Torah Shabbat Peh, that's part of the Mesorah. But ethics and morals, people assume, conduct, that's not part of the Mesorah, that's a personal thing. Meir explains, that's why the Mesorah is put here at the beginning of Pirkei Avot, so we should know that this is equally part of the Mesorah, a very important part of the Mesorah. Everybody knows, Maran Bava Kama says, that if a person wants to be a chassid, they have to learn the issues in Avot, which describes matters, issues of conduct. So that's why I think it's important to learn Pirkei Avot, and of course we have the custom. Everyone has the custom, well, not everyone. Most people have the custom between Pesach and Shavuot to learn Pirkei Avot, and many have the custom to continue it after Shavuot, throughout the summer. Definitely is a worthy thing to do. So over the last few summers, we've been learning Pirkei Avot each month. One perek, or at the Perekei. The truth is, the shiurim on the first four perek are online. So if someone's recording them, we can speak, maybe someone wants to put them online. I can tell you how to do it. Okay? But in any case, you can hear the first four perek online. Since you can't hear the fifth parak online, that would be a good parak for us to begin with, right?
Okay. Sounds good.
And we're going to begin with the introduction that the Minhag has established we should read before and at the end of learning each parak. Anyone else what we say before we learn each parak?
Is it Kol Yisrael?
We say the Mishnah of Kol Yisrael, Yesh Lahem Chedek Le'olam Haba, She'nemer Ve'amech Kulam Tzadikim. So now we're going to give out sheets, because you can't have a sheet without sheets, right? It's like a soul without an introduction. Which you guys aren't holding it. First month we discussed a lot about the Averis soul. You guys aren't familiar with the soul, right?
No.
I look online. Each one is two. Each one is two. Okay, so the Mars of Vitri, one of the early German-French Rishonim, he talks about the minute to say Pirkei Avot between Mincha and Arvid on Shabbat, because that's when people are in shul. And he said the custom began to read Kol Yisrael, because it's a very nice beginning, but I guess there's a lot of things that would be nice beginnings. Let's look at the part in bold. U'kedei lahamshich lev amei ha'aretz, shelo yityashu min ha'tshuva u'min ha'geula, lomar she'avda tikvatam machmat k'tzat avira she'biyadam. It's very easy for people to lose hope. Lose hope on a personal level, their ability to do tshuva and fix themselves, and on a national level for the ability to bring the gula, because we all know how we're lacking. And the danger is that people will give up. The Mishnah of Kol Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Le'olam Haba is meant to counter that. Everybody's in the game. Everybody has a chelek in Olam Haba. The Midrash Shmuel, it's not regular Midrash, it's one of the Achronim wrote, Pirush on Pirkei Avot, he adds that there's another thing we're afraid of. We're about to read Pirkei Avot, and Pirkei Avot is full of Mishnayot that describe the highest level of conduct. It's easy for a person to say, I'll never reach that. So it doesn't even pay to try. And he says that that also is part of the goal, to get people to realize that they have, they're already part of it. Now the question is how much higher they can get. They already have a chelek. And I think this idea is an idea we find in the Gemara in Minachot, particularly according to the understanding of the Sfat Emet. The Gemara Menachot is discussing the lechem apanim on the shulchan. Now it says in the Torah that the lechem have to be on the shulchan tamid, right, all the time. So the Gemara, the Mishnah asks, how could it be all the time? You have to take them off and put on new ones. So for that time, it's not going to be on. So the Rabbanan say the shelves on the shulchan were made open-ended on both sides. They would take the new lechem, push from the back, push out the new one, so it would always be full. Rabbi Yossi says, if you look in the Gemara here, even if you take the old one out in the morning and put the new one in at night, it's not a problem. What does tamid mean? It means shelo yolin shulchan b'lo lachem. It doesn't mean constantly, it means consistently. So Rabbi Ami says, from the words of Rav Yossi, we can learn that even if a person learns only one parak of Torah in the morning and one parak at night, they're mekayim the mitzvah of lo yom shtefer Torah zemipichon. You're mekayim v'gita bo yom v'layla. Rabbi Yochanan then quotes Rav Shimon ben Yochai, goes even further. He says, even if a person only learns Kriyat Shema, only reads Kriyat Shema every morning and every night, not even a new parak, he's Mekayim Layamish Sefer HaTorah Zemi Picha. But then Rav Shimon Yochai adds, V'davar ze asur lo umro b'fnei Amei Ha'aretz. It's usher to tell people this, or at least Amei Ha'aretz this. Why is it usher?
Then I'll just take that.
Right? Say, okay, that's enough. That's why is that a problem?
Because you want people to be doing more. If they
There's
can.
A higher level of kium. Why do you want people to be doing more? Because ideally, Talmud Torah is something people should strive to do as much as possible, right? Now, it's true, you would say the base level through that. So it's also to tell people. The Rava Amar, what's surprising about Rava disagreeing here? Rava disagrees a lot in the Gemara, right? But never with Rav Yochanan in the name of Shimon Bar Yochai. If you know a little bit of the history of the Tanoim, the Amaroim. Interesting. V'Rava Amar, mitzvah liyomer with Ne'amar Yeretz. I guess it's because it's not a halachic issue, it's a strategic chinuch issue, right? Why does he say mitzvah liyomer with Ne'amar Yeretz? Not only is it not us, it's important. So the Sfarim explains, the fear is that an Amaretz is going to say, there's so much Torah I have to learn, I'm never going to have to learn all of it, so I'll learn none of it. An Amaretz should know that he can be Mekai in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And so he should do whatever he can. It's the same idea. Everyone with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so basically this explanation is saying that we put this Mishnah in to give people hope. And the truth is, if you go back to the context where the Mishnah is mentioned, I believe that that is its context in its original context. Should we take a look?
Yeah.
Anyone knows where it appears without looking at the sheet? Anyone knows where it appears looking at the sheet? It's the Mishnah, the end of Sanhedrin, by the way. There seems to be different versions of exactly what the order in the end of Sanhedrin should be. It's important for this parak, but we'll skip that for now. Right? And there too, the question becomes, why is that Mishnah there in the middle of Sanhedrin? What is the end of Sanhedrin? What is Sanhedrin dealing with in general? Before we get to the end of Sanhedrin,
court system.
So what's called Yisrael Yishmael Chelak Olam Haba?
Doesn't it deal with Olam Haba at the end of it?
This is the part.
Oh, okay, so
what's pshat?
Then it fits in there.
Well, no. Why is that whole discussion there?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of because after you've said this is what you do wrong to deserve this, and this is what you do wrong, and this is what you do wrong. To say kind of like, that's not the norm.
Well, one could go even further, as we're about to see. If you look at Rashi, on the top of page 4, Rashi says, in the earlier parakim we were speaking about the people put to death by Beis Din. So now we explain those who don't have a chelek l'olam haba. One could understand the progression, according to Rashi, the following way. One could say the reason the Mishnah is here is to show you a higher level of chumrah. Because the Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Yesh Nam Chedek L'Olam Haba, and then it continues in the bottom of page 3, and there are some exceptions who don't have a Chedek L'Olam Haba. One could say that according to Rashi, the Mishnah is here not to tell you that everyone has a Chedek, but to tell you that some people don't have a Chedek. Meaning, some people get killed, and some people even worse, they don't have a Chedek L'Olam Haba. But one could say, according to Rashi, that there's significance to the beginning of the Mishnah too, because if it was just the end of the Mishnah, it should have said, V'yelu Yenam Chedek L'Olam Haba. And the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayot definitely says that. And I think one could again say it for Rashi, and there are those who do suggest there's an explanation for Rashi. And the Rambam says, the reason the Mishnah is put here is that we should know that when a person sins and is killed for his sin, you shouldn't think now he has no Chelek Olam Haba. Even such a person has a Chelek Olam Haba. And this is an idea which we find reinforced by a number of different additional sugyot. For example, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tzayin tells us, Beit Shammai tells us there were three groups in Yom Adim. We're talking about the end of days, not Rosh Hashanah. One of the Tzadikim Gemurim, one of the Rishayim Gemurim, the others are the Benonim. The Tzadikim, la'alt al-chayim chayolam. Rishayim are nechtamim v'nechtamim la'alt al-gehenim. And the Benonim, they go to Gehenim for a certain amount of time until they come out. One could understand from the beginning of the Gemara that a Rasha goes to Gehenim forever. But the Gemara says later, if you look at the second bold part, that even Poshe Yisrael go to Gehenna, which is very bad. They are judged for 12 months, and after 12 months, right, their body is burnt, their soul is redeemed. Okay. It's mashma that even Rishayim Gemurim have a hope. Tosfot explains. He says everyone has a hope. We said before that Rishayim go to Gehenna. It doesn't mean that they can't be fixed. It means they go directly there for a certain period. Even Rishayim have hope. And this could be based on the understanding that every Jew is embedded with a goodness. Chazal expressed this in the Gemara in Baruchot in a very beautiful way. Daf Nun Zayin Amad Aleph. It says, the Gemara there is discussing what the significance of all kinds of dreams is. If you see X in your dream, see Y in your dream. So it says, what if you see pomegranates in your dream? So it says, well, it depends if you're a Talmid Chacham, if you're an Amoritz, but it says if you're an Amoritz, you should look forward to the possibility of doing more mitzvah. You should expect opportunities for mitzvah. Shenemar kipelach harimon rakateich, shirashimim mai rakateich, afilu rekanin shebach melei mitzvot kerimon. Even people who seem empty are full of mitzvah, like a pomegranate is full of seeds. You might have heard this. Gemara quoted. Every Jew is full of mitzvah, whatever that means, at least the potential for mitzvah. Someone told me a story the first month about Rav Nevinson, that Rav Nevinson said at one of his meals that he counted the number of seeds in a rimon, it's 613. And his wife later said,
Avigdor,
how do you have time to count the seeds in a pomegranate? What?
We did it in one of my middle school classes, it also was.
It doesn't mean that it's 613. It means there's a lot of mitzvot. It means it's full of mitzvot. It's full of seeds.
Rosh Hashanah. It never came out, right?
Same way the number of letters in the Torah is not 600,000. It just means it's a lot. It's a lot. Anyway, getting back to the point. There's something naturally significant, positive about all Jews. And I think one can explain this in light of the psukim, of how Hashem spoke to the Jewish people at Har Sinai, and then we'll see it in the Rishonim, we'll see it in the Achronim, but let's talk about this idea. If you look at the bottom page 4, Shmot Perek Yutet, Hashem at Har Sinai is, of course, offering the Jewish people the possibility of eternalizing their relationship. They can decide if they want to commit themselves and future generations to the treaty with Hashem. And the formulation is, V'yata im shamoa tishmu b'koli u'shemartem et briti, if you listen to my voice and heed the covenant, Ve'yitim li segula mikol amim ki likol haaretz. Segula means some kind of chosenness, some kind of objective, natural significance. And this is, of course, where the term Am Segula comes from. The Kuzari understands this to mean something godly about people. The Kuzari, for those who ever learned the Sefer, I see someone's learning Shiurim, the Sefer Kuzari.
Yeah.
Oh, so there we go. So the Kuzari talks about how there were godly people before the Jewish people came along. And the avot were certain kfiut, a certain consistency, long-term building a family of godliness. Avram wasn't everyone, Yitzchak wasn't everyone, but the uniqueness of Yaakov is that all of his children inherited that trait from him. The Kuzari writes, Ulam b'nei Yaakov ayu kulam skula, kulam yachad ru'yim l'yan eloki. And of course, from there, the notion of all Jews are Jews, meaning by Yitzchak, that's not true, right? Esav isn't a Jew, his children aren't Jewish. Yaakov and his children, that's where the concept of some kind of skuli, eternal, embedded, natural significance, irrespective and primordial to whatever choices and actions people do. If we continue, we're on page 5, we're going to see how Rav Kook related to this notion. Why did Rav Kook suddenly have to relate to this notion? The big challenge in the days of Rav Kook was how to relate to Zionists who were not religious and very often anti-religious. A lot of people said, well, they're bad, write them off. But they were doing things that look good. And Rav Kook believed that what they were doing is good. So he had to explain what's going on. How could evil people be doing good things? Things that we should connect with and follow. So Rav Kook writes at the top of page 5 that there are two elements to being a Jew. One is the one we're all familiar with, doing the right things. He calls that the tzad ha-bichiri, the choices you make. He says there's another side. It's the segula. It's what we've been talking about, right? The natural, embedded chosenness. One could maybe talk about the relationship, the difference, the contrast between what we just saw in the Kuzari, and let's say the Rambam is a rationalist, what you do, how you develop yourself. Rav Kook writes that the segula aspect of being a Jew is so much greater and holier than the things you choose to do as a Jew. And he says, in our generation, there are many nishamot, that even though they're very low on the bechira side, which is why they make a lot of bad choices, they have a very strong segula sense to them. And that's why they're so connected to Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and the broader values of nation and land, the things that connect to the segula side. He doesn't talk about it here, but one could add the following point. Jews, throughout Galut, did not feel as strongly the national land identity. They weren't in their own land and they weren't living as a nation. Judaism became focused only on the decisions and actions, right? And here there are people who want to revive the national side of Judaism. They're highlighting that, and they see the other side of Judaism as being disconnected to it. Why? Because it is disconnected to it. Not in principle, but in practice. So they are highlighting one and throwing away the other. And Rav Kook said, what they're doing is based on a good premise. It's not all of Judaism. It's sorely lacking a lot of Judaism, but it's important and good. And we need to show how to bring the two together, not reject the segula important side. Rav Kook expressed this idea also and connected it to our Mishnah, which is, you know, good because we're learning our Mishnah, right? In a very interesting answer, tshuva, he gave to a question that came up in the 19th and 20th centuries, mainly in Europe, but it was indicative of a broader issue, as we're about to see. This was the question. The Jewish communities, when the walls of the ghettos came down, right, they were given autonomy, they were citizens, and there was a Christian community in all the countries, and there was a Jewish community in all the countries, right, that had rights and elected officials, etc. All that was good until, in many places, the majority of the Jews were not religious. So they were voting and filling community boards of people who were not religious or anti-religious. So, now we're religious people, we're Orthodox people. The community board is being run by anti-religious people, and it's making our lives miserable, right? Because they're the ones interacting with the government, they're deciding what Judaism policy is, isn't it, right? So for example, let's say the board will decide we don't want to have mikvahs anymore. So how do we build a mikvah, right? We don't have permission from the government. So there were places, in this tradition, Shmuel Hirsch, for example, Chassam Sofer, where they came up with the idea to prove to the government that we are not the same religion as those Jews. We're a different religion, right? They have whatever they do, and we do. We're a different religion, and we're setting up our own community. So there's a Christian community, there's a Muslim community, there's a non-religious Jewish community, there's a religious Jewish community. And the question came to Rav Kook, what does he think? So Rav Kook responded he was against this. Not he was against it, but he called it Avodah Zarah. Other sharp terms too we're about to see. Dvarim Perek Yudalid, we're told, Banim Atem LaShem Elokechem. Somebody want to translate that?
You're all sons to Hashem.
Sounds like Christianity, right? So I want to hear your translation. There's a lot of things that Jews assume we don't believe because Christians believe them. We don't realize that they're in the Torah. Now these areas are very often not highlighted because we don't believe them, right? Because the Christians believe them. There's a lot of things Christians believe that we believe. Just they have to steal it from us. We don't believe it in the same way they believe it, right? Bonim atem la'Hashem Elokechem. In fact, Chazal goes even further. It's not what we're talking about, but I'll just mention it. It says also in Sefer Devarim that when a person is killed by Beis Din, in ancient times when people were killed, they were let out, they were hung out for days. Why? Why did they leave them hanging?
To show other people not to do.
So, to cause a busha, but also to make an example out of them, right? It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to leave someone hanging overnight. Why? Ki kilalat alokim talui. What does that mean, kilalat alokim talui? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Mem Vav gives a mashal. You ready for the mashal? There were once twin brothers. One became a king, one became a thief. Eventually, the brother who was a thief was caught and hung. The king said, take him down. Why? People say the king is hanging. What's the name, Shel? Sounds pretty Christian, no? Okay, clearly we don't believe that physically God has an arm and a leg. But we do believe that the creative potential that God gives us is really, that's Tzelem Elokim, right? So, we should take ourselves seriously. Anyway, getting back to the point. Now come all the halachot that are expressions of that. Lo tit go to do lo tisim akorach ben nechem lemeit. Ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha concludes like the beginning. What does lo tit go to do mean and how does it connect to banam atem l'Hashem Elokecha? So the simple pshat in lo tit go to do is you're not going to make cuts in your skin. Which again is a physical expression of our godliness. But the Gemara in Yevamot has another drasha. The Gemara says you're not allowed to subdivide into different groups. You're not allowed to keep different halachot. Everyone has to keep halacha the same way. As we know from Judaism today, everyone keeps halacha the same way, right? People see the diversity as a culturally beautiful thing, right? Because today we live in a world of pluralism and diversity, which are very nice things, right? But people say, oh, Judaism is so culturally diverse. That's against the Torah. Judaism is not supposed to be diverse in halacha. What mechanism does the Torah give us to ensure uniformity?
The
Beit Din HaGadol. It's because we don't have a Beit Din HaGadol. that we have this beautiful, wonderful diversity, which is Aser. We're supposed to have uniformity. Now, just to clarify, there should be diversity. People can wear different kippahs and all kinds of things, but the halacha is supposed to be the same, right? It's not supposed to be the Yemenites are going to have this kind of arava, and we're going to have that kind of arava, and tie it this way, and tie it that way. The halacha is supposed to be the same. Yit Hashem, it'll be the same again. We daven in our tefillah, Shiva Shoftayach Kavar Rishonah, V'yotzayach Kavar Tchilah, right? That's what we're aiming for. So it's also to have different sects to keep halacha differently. Rav Kook asked, why is that Isser put next to Banam Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem? I don't understand. What's the relationship? So he says, we are representatives of God in this world. We need to represent God's unity, oneness, by being unified and one. If we are not unified, it implies that we serve more than one God. And that's a terrible thing. In fact, he compares the notion of separating into two communities to the mother who said to Shlomo HaMelech, you should cut the baby in half. Wow, right? You understand what I mean? We are one nation under God, under one God. And he concludes the piece, Yitzod Tzidkat HaTzadikim, Bechol Dor Vador, the base of the righteousness of Tzadikim in every generation, Nitmachu Gam Al Yedei Rishoyim. That's an unbelievable sentence. It stands also on the Rishoyim. She'im Kol Rishatam, with all their badness, as long as they identify as part of the Jewish people, aleihem ne'emar v'yamech kulam tzadikim. Not just that they're tzadikim, but if you want to be a tzadik, it comes by connecting to all those Jews. And the external rishut that they express, that's just the external side of it. And the seeming divisiveness undermines the very roots of the entire notion of Kedusha. And then he concludes by comparing it to Amalek. Like Amalek, who tried to attack the weakest part of the Jewish people. The idea that there are weaker parts and we'll separate ourselves from the weaker parts so we can be stronger. That's Amalek. Jewish unity means we're all one team and we all stand together. The Amech Kulam, together as a nation. You want to be a tzaddik, it's by being Amech Kulam. Wow, no? So that, you know, the flip in Rav Kook is not only this notion of the tzad haskuli, but the idea that being a tzaddik means connecting to the entirety of the Jewish people. I think it's an important thing. So it's worth starting Avot with, right?
Yeah.
Now moving over to page 6, we conclude Avot with Rav Chananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakot Et Yisrael, Aficha Chir B'Lam Torah Mitzvah, right? We're familiar with that? I say it too fast?
Yeah,
by the way, for our Avot Shir, we're going to bring a sitter with Avot in it, right? Because we're learning Avot. We can do it this time. We didn't know. This is the Shir we're actually going to learn text for. We know it could be a fluff Shir, like we're so used to, right? We'll come. Parshat Shavua, I always pride me. If we have Shir Parshat Shavua, people come with a notebook. So where's your Tanakh? Well, Rabbi, it could be the fluff Shir. Parshat Shavua means if we come, he's going to tell us a vart, we're all going to have a nice mutzer. What does it do with the Parshat? Nothing. But, you know, I'm going to go, and people are going to ask me for a Dvar Torah on Shabbat, I'm going to give over the same fluff I got. Shani and I, we don't give no fluff. So you want to learn Pirkei Avot, you got to come with a Pirkei Avot, right? So I'll say it slowly.
Hi.
Can you
help us for a second?
I'm sure I could.
I'm making an halacha and I have a certain halacha.
You're making a halacha?
No, I'm
finding the halacha.
She's talking about it and it's happening tomorrow.
Yeah, yes. I want to know like more about it and stuff. So I don't know which book it's in. So here it is. Don't judge a man till you walked a mile in his shoes. Do you know what that is?
Achitagilim Komo. Al Tadunis Chavercho, don't judge your friend until you've been in his place.
Yeah.
That's the mission you're thinking of.
Yeah.
What I suggest you do is go to the back room there, straight to the back door, there's a computer there.
Uh-huh.
And instead of just showing you the Mishnah, put a search in on the internet with those words, and you'll find other sources on it too.
Okay, great.
So you can make a whole thing out of it.
Yeah, I'm going to do the 30%
of the whole recording.
She's making the halach.
Yeah, that's cute. So that's where our whole halach come from.
It's expressive of how a lot of people see it.
Yeah.
A lot of people see it. Okay, yeah. Not a Freudian, but it's a slip. So, the Mishnah says, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it appears here on the bottom of page, top of page 7. I'm going to look at the top of page 7. Hananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nezakot Es Yisrael. Hashem wanted to give opportunities for merit to the Jewish B'nai Fichach. Here B'nai Torah HaMitzvah. Right? That's what we say at the end. By the way, we say it in a hope.
There's a password on the computer.
Oh. I think the password is...
Do you want me to read it?
What's your name?
Eliana.
Try that. It won't work. But it should be. Should I tell you what the password is? Everyone's listening.
Do you want me to read it?
Okay.
Okay. With an H.
I'm gonna forget.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, try Eliana.
Okay. Okay.
All right. By the way, we use this Mishnah. It's often said at the end of a learning session before they say Kaddish. This is like the learning shul between Mincha and Maariv. Right? You ever been there like when the stars are why do we say that? I think that Mishnah represents the other side. Now, even if Rav Kook is right that the Segula side is very important, that doesn't mean there isn't importance to what we choose to do, right? So forget about it, right? No, right? What we do is also important. The Kuzari writes, top of page 6, that it's true there's significance to just being a Jew, but there's also significance to being in Israel. And there's significance to the ma'asim and the mitzvot that we do. And I'm going to show you a cool way of seeing this. You guys want to see a cool way of seeing this?
Yes.
Okay. So Hashem said in those same circum, in Shemot Perek Yutet, top of page 6, right? Remember we read Pasuk Hei, V'atam Shemot Yishmu B'kol Yiyu Shemaitim Et Briti, V'yitim Li Segula Mikol Amim, right? The next Pasuk he said, V'atam Tiyu Li Mamlechet Kohanim, V'goy Kadosh. There are two ways the Torah speaks about the relationship between being holy and the choices you make. Let's look in Dvarim Perek Zayin, which happens to be this week's parasha. It says there, don't marry with goyim, don't serve avodah zarah, don't, you know, do whatever things we're talking about there. Kiyam kadosh atah Hashem Elokecha. B'cha b'char Hashem Elokecha liyot l'yam sekulam mikol amim asher al pnei adamah. What comes first here, the chicken or the egg? Which of course always confuses people, right? What comes first here? The holiness or the actions? No, what's it saying?
That you're holy, so you have to act.
Right. Meaning, don't do these things because you're holy. So that dafka fits in with the segula side. You should choose the right things as well. Same implication as we saw in Dvarim Perek Yud Aleph. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeichem. Don't lose go to lose him go. Ki am kadosh atah. Same thing in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Don't eat a nevela. Ki am kadosh atah. But now look at Shemot Perek Chaf Bet. What's the difference between Shemot Perek Chaf Bet and the Pesukim we just read?
This is saying you will be holy if you do,
or you should be holy.
Yeah, and the other ones are saying you are holy already.
The other Pesukim Devarim are saying you are holy, therefore don't do the wrong things. Shemot is saying be holy by
doing the right thing.
It seems that your holiness
is dependent
on. Interesting, no? So the Zohar relates to this duality. You guys know Rafi Mandelstam?
No.
He was working here in the Beit Midrash first month. And now he's in charge of Mishpat tonight, sponsoring it.
Woo,
Rafi, what's the nafkamina for sponsoring it? You gonna have Mike and Ike's and Grand Apple Juice?
Cookies.
Oh, cookies. Ah, that's no sponsorship, man. We're taking you off the side.
It says
they're sponsoring. It says they're sponsored.
I said they're sponsoring. I was saying
I'm making a scene. You wanna make a scene? Everyone has to listen to a scene. There's gotta be good food, Rafi. Just make a steam and give out apple juice. Where's the soda?
The style is bringing it. She said it's in the room.
Where's the... What do we want? Where's the chillin' and the barbecue beef?
Yeah.
We should make chillin'.
It's coming.
All right.
I don't know why I'm volunteering that. I don't want to make chillin'.
In any case, the Zohar relates to an interesting syntax difference between the psukim. Can any of you see, without looking at the Zohar, or I guess maybe looking at the Zohar, what difference there is between the way Kedusha is formulated in Shemot versus Dvar?
Kadosh and Anshe.
Anshe as opposed to Am, definitely true. That's not what the Zohar talks about. That's correct. It's not wrong. It's correct. It's something even more subtle. That's all for our subtle readers. You know what I'm saying? Subtly detectors. The Pesukim in Devarim talk about being Kadosh. The Pesuk in Shemot talks about being
Kodesh.
Isn't that interesting? All the Pesukim in Devarim talk about being Kadosh. The Pesukim in Shemot, Kodesh. Plot thickens, right? The Zohar summarized it. I can read the whole Zohar. Bikadmisa, in the beginning, you are kadosh. Vahash the kodesh. And here it talks about being kodesh. It's talking about how in Shemot Perek Yutet it said kadosh, right? The goy kadosh. And here it says kodesh. Ma bein hai lahai. What's the difference? Oh, Rabbi Yossi, dole elo leilo. This Anshei Kodesh is a higher level. What does it mean? So I want to explain it to you based on the halacha and the Gemara and Kedusha that I didn't make up, but I have it here anyway. The Mishnah in Kedusha, Nun Vav Amud Beis, is talking about things that are usher b'hana. One of the things is the hair of a nazir. Okay? Let's say a man takes the hair of a nazir and is mekadesh a woman with it. People who haven't read a lot of Gemara always say, why would anyone do that? It's just not relevant. It's just not relevant. It's not relevant. The Gemara discusses things not because people do it, but because it wants to get to the principle, right? Okay. In any case, it doesn't work, because it's asur b'hana. It's like giving someone dust. Machron v'kiddush b'dmayan. Let's say the man sells the seir nazir, gets money, and uses the money to marry the woman, mikudeshes, then it works. The Gemara wants to know why. We know that there are circumstances where if you sell something, the iser transfers to the money. Why isn't it transfer here? So the Gemara says, Kedushin and Zayin Amid Beis, because the Seir Nazir, even though it's written in the Torah, Kadosh, we read it as Kodesh. Now the average reader would say, what difference does it make if it says Kadosh, you read it as Kodesh? Rashi explains, Kadosh Karinan, Kadosh, means something that's not intrinsically holy. Excuse me one second. Right. Kodesh, mashma that it has the status of Kedusha. Kadosh means it's intrinsically holy. It is Kadosh. Kodesh means it can attain holiness. So, since Seir Nazir is Kadosh, it is intrinsically holy. That Kedusha doesn't transfer to the money. Even though it's written Kodesh, we read it as Kadosh, it's intrinsic, it doesn't transfer to the money. Okay, interesting halacha, right? How can we help that? How can we use that to explain our difference in the psukim as summarized by the psukim? There is an intrinsic holiness to the people as a people. Right? To the people as a people. What's your first name again?
Aviva.
Male, right?
Yeah.
As Aviva said, there's an intrinsic to the people. Ki am Kadosh. You're all a holy people, whether you choose it or not, that's why you should do the right things. A higher level you can achieve beyond your intrinsic kedusha, something you achieve, not of kadosh but of kodesh. That's personal, and that's why it says anshei kodesh. So, which one is right? Our kedusha is based on our intrinsic seguliness, or our kedusha is based on our choices?
Both,
right? As the Zohar said, da leila leila. There are higher levels that we hopefully reach in our lives. This is the backdrop of that Mishnah. That we can now read on page 7 again. On the one hand, forget it, no? No. Because we have some chelik, but if we want to reach higher things, we need as many opportunities as possible, and we should realize that all these great things are opportunities. And once we read Avot, we now know what all these great opportunities are, and now we want to talk about what they're for, right? On the one hand, we start by everyone's in the game, but we end by talking about how much there is to accomplish and fulfill, right? What pasuk is quoted? Shenemar Hashem chafetz l'man tzedkoy yagdil toravi adir. Have you heard that pasuk?
Yeah.
That last three words of that pasuk are often paraphrased by talking about what the support of Torah is. A person gives money, it can be a mishmar, with barbecue beef. Lahagdil Torah l'adir. Have you heard that phrase? Lahagdil Torah l'adir. To make the Torah greater. The obvious question is, how does helping people learn make the Torah greater? It doesn't make the Torah greater. The person knows a little bit, right? So Rav Kook has a beautiful piece on this. He says, anyone who learns Torah realizes from potential to actual. The reality of Chachma from his perspective. He continues, Ubevadai. Eino dome ha'or ha'mitchadesh mitzad chibur ha'torah l'nefesh zo l'or ha'nolad mi'etchabrutah l'nefesh acheret. The light that's generated from the interface of Torah with your soul is intrinsically different than the light generated by the connection with anyone else's. And that's why it's Magdil HaTorah when you learn it, because you are discovering things no one else has and no one else ever will. Which is why when people waste time they could have used to learn Torah. We don't call it Bittul Zman, we call it? But Torah was kind of Bittul. You could have learned that, no one else can fill in. But it's an unbelievable notion, you think about it, right? It makes you feel how important your investment is, right? Okay, that's the introduction. Because when you guys will learn the Avera song, you'll know that a soul without an introduction is like chicken soup without an introduction.
Gotta learn the song.
Yeah. Avera song. It's on YouTube. Since the first month, they came out with a Chumra song.
Oh, no.
It was first of Goslam. Now you work just in Avera. My son Yaakov knows it all by heart. So if you have any questions, you can come to him. Okay. Let's now start Perakeh, shall we? Or is that we had enough, we can't learn anymore?
No, we're ready.
You ready? Okay, so let's do it. The Mishnah says, Ba'asara ma'amarot nivra olam. The world was created with 10 ma'amarot. Everyone knows what that means? If you look in Parashat Bereishit, you'll see 9 times Hashem Ve'omer Ve'miyor says 10. This is a big debate. What the 10th was generally assumed based on Chatir Chazanim replaces that the Bereishit Bara was also a ma'amarot. That's not important for this Mishnah. Okay. Matamud lomar. What is it coming to teach you? V'alo b'ma'amar achad yuchal yibarot. God could have created it all at once. So clearly it's not that God needed 10. So it must be if it was created with 10, it's to
teach us something.
Right? Okay, so what's coming to teach us? You know, I really should have, let's backtrack. Everyone put on your backtrack mindset. The fifth parak of Avot is different than all the other parak. How is it different?
People say 10 things instead of 3 things?
Not exactly correct, but we could take that sentence and take all the elements out and the first major difference is that the rest of Pirkei Avot is quoted from people. Here, there are no rabbis saying anything. It's all about the Masorah. This one got it and said this and this one. Here, it's all stam. Could be because it's all things that people... It's not really advice. It's facts. Now, of course, there's what to learn from facts, right? But it's facts. It's not personal expressions of ideology. The Mishnayot are organized by number. Starts off with tens, not just the first Mishnah, and then sevens, fours, threes, going from the big to the small. Chazal talk about how there were people who were called sofrim because they used to collect ideas by numbers. Kind of like similar but different than gematria people today, right? But in any case, that's very unique to this parak. And the first one, the tens, and the first one is the creation of the world. Now the tens go through history from creation, Noach, Avraham, right? The ten Nisyonos in the desert, right? Interestingly, it doesn't mention the Aseret HaDibrot, which is, you know, not really discussing the parak, but discussing what's not in the parak. Some people say it's Pashat, the Aseret HaDibrot, but that mentions Aseret HaMakot, which should be Pashat too. Okay, fine, let's talk about what it says. Asara Ma'amarot Nivra Olam, what's the Chidush? It could have been with one, so obviously it's to teach us something. Elali Parah Min HaRashim, Shema'abdim Et HaOlam Shenivra Be'asara Ma'amarot, V'litein Sachar Tov L'Tzadikim Shemekamim Et HaOlam Shenivra Be'asara Ma'amarot. So the truth is, there's a lot of similarity between this Mishnah and what we were just learning about. Right? The more there is, the Hashem raises the stakes. He gives us the potential to accomplish a lot, to create or to destroy. Rashi has a very sharp understanding of this. Because one could say, God created the world this way because He created the world this way. What do we learn from it? We learn from it that the stakes are high. Rashi says, no. The reason God created it this way was so that there would be more on the table. Now again, just to clarify, I don't understand. If God could have created it with one ma'amar, so by creating it through 10, you get more credit or punishment? I understand, it's the same creation, no? So it seems that it's not just technically how many ma'amarot were used, it's God created a very a complex world, rich world, that's expressed with the Asara Ma'amarot to make the stakes higher for the people who sustain it or destroy it. What does it mean? A Russian at Tzaddik sustains or destroys the world? Should know today, right before the show, I was communicating with a boy about this topic, the boys in Shiva this year. One of the things that I think is very important to help people see is that the mission of the Jewish people isn't just to be a good Jew. The mission of the Jewish people is to make the world a better place, right? So he was asking me, what's the relationship between what I am in the world and prioritizing, and, you know, right? Not a simple question, and sadly, many Jews think the purpose of being Jewish is just to be a good guy, which is fine. That's very good, right? But we should have a bigger vision. So what does it mean that a Rasha is ma'abid to the world, and a tzaddik is mekayim the world? So you guys know what Avotu Rabbi Natan is? Avotu Rabbi Natan is a collection of Tanaitic statements that relate to the Mishnayot in Avot. Much like the Tosefta. Do you know what Tosefta is? Tosefta is like Avotu Rabbi Natan. That doesn't help, right? Meaning, the Tanoim for many generations before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi were saying things, right? Each one said what they believed. What did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi do? He compiled ones he considered to be the corpus that would be authentic, authoritative. There was a lot of stuff left outside. There was Torah. It wasn't. What were those things called? Anyone knows?
Brightot.
Why are they called Brightot?
It's like
because they're like Brightot. What does the word mean?
It's
teaching.
See, it's not your fault. You only know what you're taught. But it's a fault of the teachers. People should be taught. You have to know what things are, not just, you know, fluff and motion. You know what I'm saying, right? Anyway, Brighta means bara. Bara means outside in Aramaic. So Brighta, we're outside the canon. The Gemara often quotes Brighta, right? Many of those Brighta were collected as an addendum to the Mishnah, which was called Tosefta. Addendum, right? Tosefet. The version on Avot was collected by Rabbi Natan. It's called Avot Rabbi Natan. Okay, that makes sense, right? Okay. What do we need a world with 10 mamarot? What difference between 10 mamarot, 1 mamarot? Right? It's a different formulation of our mission. The example given is Shekem etzinu b'Kain. Kain killed Hevel, right? And what did God say to him? Called the me'achicha. So akim alam min adama, right? Why plural? The me'achicha, not dam. This is all of future generations. This is really a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which Avotu Rabbi Natan is presenting a different formulation of. The Mishnah there says that when Edom come to court, we intimidate them. We want them to take it seriously. We want to make sure that they realize the implications of lying, and we start telling them how serious being responsible for the murder of another person is. And we tell them the whole story with Cain and Eva. Look here at the next source, right? And in fact, the Mishnah continues and says, that's why man was created as one being, to teach you that anyone who kills one soul of the Jewish people, it's as if he destroyed the whole world. And saving one soul, right, is as if you saved the whole world. Now, okay, that's a beautiful idea, but that only explains the significance of murder. Or saving a life. It seems that we're talking about much more, right? Because what did Avot Rabbi Natan speak about?
One mitzvah.
One mitzvah, one Shabbat. That's not murder. So if we look at the Rami Bar Tanur, anyone knows what the Rami Bar Tanur is?
Yeah, Rav Ovadia
of Bar Tanur. Of Bar Tanur? What's Bar Tanur? Anyone knows what it's called? Barcelona? Anyway, so he writes. What?
The wine. I think
one.
That is the wine.
Okay. So the Bar Tanur, second shot, that a Russian and a tzaddik destroy or sustain the world, mamish, and machriyim et kol olam kulo. What does that mean, machriyim et kol olam kulo? The Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Mem Amud Aleph, says that a person should always see himself in the balance, as being 50-50. The one action they do now is going to determine whether they're a tzaddik or a Russian. That's the first part of the price. Second part of the price, the fourth line, Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon says he should see the whole world as lying in the balance of your one action. And should realize that the one action you do could turn the world in one direction or the other. That's what the Rabbi Artenu is speaking about. Now the kash on that is, it's a beautiful piece of advice to tell people to see themselves that way, but is it really true? Every Russia, every tzaddik is destroying the world, is keeping the world alive? Well, on some level, yes, but okay. That's why I think the Rabbi Artenu has a first shot. Let's take a look at the beginning. He says, Kol ha-ma'abed nefeshecha b'Yisrael ki'ilu avad olam mele, v'arishayim she ba'avonam me'abdim et nafsham ki'ilu me'abdim et ha'olam. Bye. Got it, you all ready?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Are you standing in her shoes? You want to hear a nice pshat?
What?
The Baal Shem Tov said that the reason the Mishnah says don't judge your friend until you're in his place is what it's trying to say is if you judge your friend, Hashem will have to put you in his place so you'll understand him.
Should I bet?
So better not to judge him so you won't be forced into that scenario.
I like it.
We like it.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, we've got Eliana.
I have to let her do her own research for that. She gave her a cute little thing, she runs off with it, right? First you have to learn. Then you get the payoff, right? Getting back to the point. The Rambam talks about how the soul you're sustaining or destroying is your own. And that's very significant. Because each person is a world. If you look back there, about Rabbi Natan, we saw Mishnah Gimel, let's look at Mishnah. We saw Mishnah Beis, let's look at Mishnah Gimel. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, Minayin she'adam echad shakul keneged kol ma'aseh bereshit. How do we know that one person is equal to the creation of the whole world? She'nemar zeh sefer todot adam, and after it says, Eil todot shemayim v'aretz. Same word todot is used, bara is used to describe both of them. Each person is a world. Is the value of a whole world. When you do the right things, you sustain your world. You do the wrong things, you destroy your world, and that's a whole world. People should take it seriously and realize how significant what we do is. This leaves us with one last question for today. Which is, okay, fine, the world is very important, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Why is all that connected to Asara Mamarot? You can just say, God created a beautiful, wonderful, special world, and you should realize you can sustain it or destroy it, and it's very special. What's the significance of 10 stages? You understand my question? So I'd like to compare this to an idea we find in Chazal, also elaborated on by Rav Kook, regarding the Geula. The Geula also, as we know, comes in stages. In Sefer Yeshayahu, Perek Nun Beis, it says, Ki lo b'chipazon teitzeu. And the contrast, of course, is with, when did we go out b'chipazon?
Mitzrayim.
Right, see, Mitzrayim was speedy. We had to get away. The Geula in the future is not going to be b'chipazon. In fact, the Yerushalmi famously says, some of the rabbis were walking in the Arbel Valley, they saw the sun rising. One said to the other, so will the Geula of the Jewish people come, little by little. More and more light. Of course, in our own time, we see it. That's why we say in Haggadah Shel Pesach that there will be Karev Yom Asher Hu Lo Yom Velo Laila, based on the Nevuah of Zechariah and Rashi's explanation. It's not going to be day versus night. There are different stages of the development. Rav Kook, page 300, talked about why the Geula takes place that way. And what he said was that the goal of Geula is not just to build the Jewish people. It's to raise the whole world. And the way we raise the whole world is by taking with us and purifying all the things that exist in the world. So, Yetzia Mitzrayim, there was nothing to purify, or at least we weren't ready to do it. We had to get out. We had to escape and cut ourselves off. Hopefully now we're ready to learn from, as the Geula is taking place, learn from, adapt, and integrate the things in the world around us. He describes this all at length in this piece on page 300. I think one can talk about this also in the Asara Ma'amarim. The world is something that is built in stages. And the goal is to appreciate, harness, and apply each of the parts, each of the stages of the world. One could talk about the interesting parallel between the notion of the world being created in stages and evolution. With the lesson being that there's so much to appreciate in the world, not only in the final product, but in the steps and the building blocks of the world. And maybe one could add that the role, the responsibility of the tzaddikim is to appreciate and make use, as opposed to the rishayim who don't appreciate and don't make use. Just to summarize all this, in the bottom of page 300, then you may be wondering, what happened to the 290 pages in between? And the answer is, Prakim Aleph Beis Gimel Daled, right? Yes, right? Okay, anyway. Rav Kook writes, Tchiyat ha'umah hi ha'yisod shel binyan ha'tshuva ha'gdola. The rebirth of the Jewish people is the foundation of the building of the great tshuva. Tshuvat Yisrael ha'elyona u'tshuvat ha'olam kulo shetavo acharei. The tshuva of the Jewish people, Rav Kook sees, as not just something happens for the Jewish people. It's about the world returning to what the world is supposed to be. In fact, you can see something cool, right? As the Jewish people are returning to their land and being redeemed, the klalot of the world as a whole are being reversed. What klalot has the world been suffering from for thousands of years? From the beginning of time. Sweaty work, painful childbirth, unequal, unhealthy relationships between husband and wife. Well, that's changing, right? Is it coincidental? I don't think so. Okay. So on Sunday we'll continue Mirat Hashem with Mishnah Beis. We'll do more than one Mishnah each time, right? Today we're doing a lot, right? Because the soul of that introduction is like
something
chicken soup without no luction.
Have to say it like we'll work on it.
The Averis song. A V E I R O S.
Alright, we'll have to watch it.
Good Shleimala. I'm spreading the word.